ball. Glove by Wong. Gets up and what a play. Takes a hit away from Jurickson Profar. On his way to the Gold Glove here in 2019, that's Colton Wong. Wong with the catch with his back to the infield. What a play by Colton Wong. Oh, what a play here. Out there. Double play. Ho! Wong. Little flare. Wong going out. Leap time. He got it. He got it. What a play. Colton Wong.
Told the guys in the Gold Glove ceremony, I plan on being here, you know, for a long time. I don't want to give this up. I don't plan on giving this up. You know, I expect to be here for a while. And, man, it's just one of those things where, you know, after you taste a little bit of success, you know, you want it all.
The St. Louis Cardinals, National League, Central Division champions. One of the best in baseball in 2019 carried over to 2020. Now the Cardinals have a decision on Colton Wong. They hold a $12.5 million option as to whether or not they want to pick it up and continue the association with Wong as their leadoff man and second baseman moving forward. Brian Walton of thecardinalnation.com joins me every Wednesday. Let's start with that, Brian. Do the Cardinals move forward with Colton Wong?
Absolutely. And, you know, as you mentioned, he has a team option for $12.5 million for next year or $1 million buyout. And there are actually people who have suggested, not media people, more people on social media, suggested that the Cardinals pay the million to buy out his option and just let him walk, or that they could somehow buy out his option and convince him to sign at a lower salary. Well, that's not going to happen. You put Wong in the market and other teams are going to line up to give him a multi-year contract because he's a premium defensive player and a guy that, you know, most teams would want. So then the option comes to, do you just exercise the option and do nothing and have that $12.5 million on the salary, or do you exercise the option and trade him for value? And, you know, there are folks who look at Tommy Edman and say, hey, he could, you know, potentially step in at second base, but you've also got a problem at third base next year, given that Brad Miller's gone and Matt Carpenter's back, but there's a potential of having a designated hitter. The options that I prefer have to do with signing Wong to a longer-term extension, because I believe that Wong is the kind of core player that the Cardinals are going to want to have around for a long time. But if you sign him to a long-term extension now and you don't rework his 2021 option, you know, what did you really gain? I mean, you might as well wait another year and kind of see what happens with a new CBA that's going to be in place and, you know, are the games going to be played next year or not? The way that I would approach Colton Wong and his agent is to offer him an extension that's more back-end loaded, that would give the player more years but have more of the money loaded later in the contract and convince him to take less, maybe half, say $6.5 million this year, and spread that extra $6 million that he would have gotten over the later years of the contract. That helps the Cardinals, who are short on revenue next year, but it also allows them to keep a guy who I think is a glue part of their team. I think the defense revolves around Colton Wong, and I think he's a guy that the Cardinals should want to keep.
As currently constructed, too, the Cardinals are built on defense and pitching in no particular order, or pitching and defense, any way you want to look at it. And he's a cornerstone of that, so that's something you got to think about as well.
Absolutely, and who are the most important defensive players? They're your players up the middle. And, you know, Colton Wong, I mean, we've seen the kind of range he has, the kind of plays he makes. You know, you put he and Paul Goldschmidt on the right side of that defense, and the balls just aren't getting through. And that affects the team in every single game in some way or another. And they aren't ways that necessarily show up on the stat lines or in the box scores.
In terms of some of the business the Cardinals have to take care of coming up, arbitration-eligible players, they've got Jack Flaherty, John Gant, Harrison Bader, Alex Reyes, Jordan Hicks, John Brebbia. So they're in better shape than some teams in terms of arbitration eligible players. So how do you try to figure out arbitration players when you have a truncated season? How do you think this is going to work?
Well, the arbitration process, you know, has all kinds of formulas, and it's primarily built on what comparable players have done in the past, how they performed in the past. So 2020 results, while they would be important, aren't the only thing. They look back like 3 years. So, and in the case of the Cardinals, John Gant is the only player who's in his second year of arbitration. They don't have anybody who's in their third year of arbitration, the last year before free agency. So 5 of the 6 guys you mentioned, Flaherty, Bader, Alex Reyes, Hicks, and Brebbia, are all first-year arbitration players. And generally, the first year in arbitration, while their step up in salary is significant over the, you know, less than $600,000 that they made, you know, some of them are going to make maybe double. In the case of Flaherty, you know, he might make four times what he made before, but still it's going to be in the $2 or $3 million range, not an incredible amount of money. All those players together in a projection that Major League Baseball trade rumors put together shows that they're going to cost the Cardinals potentially less than $10 million in total. And so I think in every case, and by the way, we should talk about Brebbia specifically because he's one that's come up that might be a non-tender candidate. But I think in all six cases, the Cardinals are going to work with these players and hopefully get them signed before an arbitration hearing.
Normally we see that. That's how the Cardinals have done business primarily. I think the last one that went to arbitration with an arbiter was Michael Wacha. And it's an uncomfortable situation, I'm sure, for the player, maybe on both sides, but normally they get this done. In terms of Brebbia, he would maybe be the one on the outside looking in. He's coming off Tommy John. What do you think?
Well, I think on the first point, Dan, of going to a hearing, I think there's a better than 50-50 chance that Jack Flaherty will take the Cardinals to arbitration. I mean, if you look at his concern that he's expressed all along about the entire player compensation process, and now add to that, this is his first time arbitration eligible, where he has a say potentially in how much he's going to make. And by the way, a new labor agreement is being negotiated, hopefully will be negotiated between players and owners in the background. You know, I don't expect the Cardinals to give Flaherty an offer that's going to knock him over, and he might actually be the guy to go to hearing. Wouldn't surprise me. But the important point is Flaherty's under contract with the Cardinals for the next 3 years. The Cardinals own his rights, and that won't change unless they do something different. The only debate here is how much he's going to get paid next year, and whatever Jack Flaherty gets paid in 2021, he's going to be worth it. Now, John Brebbia, that's a different side of the coin. Brebbia's out, right, with Tommy John surgery. Well, he was the best, according to our statistical analysis, he was the best member of the pen in 2018. He put up solid and consistent results again in 2019. But he missed, you know, he won't be back till midseason 2021 due to Tommy John. And so you look at a guy like Brebbia and you say, well, you know, if the team's trying to save a little money, they're trying to save a roster spot, they could non-tender Brebbia. And what that means is, rather than risk paying Brebbia what he could make during arbitration, they say, we are not going to tender you a contract. We're not going to give you a contract, John Brebbia. You are now a free agent. Well, John Brebbia is not a marginal guy at the back end of the roster. I mean, he's a valuable reliever. And according to these estimates from MLB trade rumors, they think Brebbia will only get $800,000 via arbitration this year. So, I mean, it's only a couple hundred thousand more than a guy to replace him. So I think for the money, assuming the Cardinals can deal with the roster, you know, having to keep him on, you know, I think Brebbia is a good investment, and it would be a nice guy to, you know, rejoin the team and give him a little bump mid-year in 2021.
How about a timetable with bringing back Yadier Molina, Adam Wainwright? It's front and center. It's on the burner for the Cardinals. What do you think?
Well, ideally, I mean, as most folks know, hopefully listening to this, both Adam Wainwright and Yadier Molina will technically become a free agent after the World Series. And the first 5 days, the Cardinals have exclusive negotiating rights. And in the past, the past two years, Wainwright was in this situation, and he signed very, very quickly. You know, because, hey, he knew he wanted to come back. The Cardinals did. They came up with a contract with a base and some options, I mean, some incentives that worked for both sides. That could easily happen again. In Molina's case, it's going to be a little trickier. He wants 2 years. You know, there's questions about how much he should play versus how much he wants to play. And, you know, and Molina made $20 million this last year. Each of the last 3 years. And he's going to have to come down significantly in what he gets as a base salary. And so there's always a risk of insult and lack of respect perceived if the Cardinals come in with an offer that Molina and his agent feel are lowball. But in terms of the timing, again, the Cardinals would probably ideally get Molina signed quickly, figure out what he needs, find the middle ground and get it done. So there isn't a lot of time with Molina looking at other teams and, you know, all the rhetoric and all the malarkey that goes on in free agent time. But here's the problem, Dan. When the World Series is over, the Cardinals also have to restore all five of those injured pitchers. And here I'm talking about the Brebbias and Dakota Hudsons and Hicks and all that have been out for the year. They have to put them back on the 40-man roster. And yes, the free agents come off the roster, but even so, when you do the math, the Cardinals are one spot over the limit. They're at 41 players. So they got to, you know, shave somebody off the back end right away. So my long-winded answer is that if Wainwright and Molina signed right away, that would increase the 40-man to 43 players. So now two more guys have to come off somehow, some way. And what we saw last winter when the Cardinals were in a roster crunch, the way they got around this Yeah, they let some, you know, they let some marginal guys go like Mike Myers and Dominic Leone. But they also made a couple trades. They traded away Adolis Garcia. They traded away Randy Arozarena and Jose Martinez, and they got in return players that didn't have to go on the 40-man roster. You know, with more time, the Cardinals might be able to do some more things with their 40-man roster, but if Wainwright and Molina sign right away, that forces them to act very, very quickly. So there's a timing issue.
Brian Walton, the Cardinal Nation, and Brian has at the site right now really interesting article about Randy Arozarena, the talk of baseball in the postseason. Of course, everybody saw this coming, didn't they, Brian?
Well, listen, I think everybody knew that Randy Arozarena had the potential to be a very, very good major leaguer. You know, nobody saw that he was going to do the kind of things that he did in September, and especially here in the postseason. And it's a wonderful story, and I'm happy for Randy. What I struggle is with the people so angry at the Cardinals for not seeing this. Now, granted, the Tampa Bay Rays obviously saw something that they wanted in him, but they traded away their first-round draft pick from 2 years before, who is viewed by everybody who looks at prospects as a better prospect than Arozarena was. And of course, here I'm talking about Matthew Liberatore. So the problem is, of course, Matthew Liberatore has never pitched a game above Class A, so he's not going to help the Cardinals. And we all see Randy Arozarena, you know, is providing power, surprising power, for, you know, that folks would like to see on the Cardinals team that lacks power. You know, the reality is when I went back and did a detailed analysis of all the national prospect raters, so not the people who drink the Cardinals Kool-Aid or have the red colored glasses, but the people who look at prospects across the game for a living, who talk to scouts, who deal with professionals in the game. And of the national raters, and I'm talking about MLB Pipeline, Baseball America, Baseball Prospectus, Fangraphs, you name them, 6 out of the 8 didn't have Randy in the top 10 of the Cardinals system prior to the trade. Not a one of them had him in the top 100 prospects in the game last year or this year, even after he went to Tampa Bay. And after the trade, the one organization that was highest on him, Baseball HQ, only slotted Randy in at the number 13 prospect in the Tampa system. Now, granted, Tampa is known as having one of the top farm system in baseball. But the point is, nobody saw what Randy Arozarena was going to be. But you know, as far as I'm concerned, you know, it's too bad he's not with the Cardinals, but he's not. And teams make trades that they wish later they could undo. But, you know, we still need to wait until we see what Matthew Liberatore becomes before we, you know, drop the hammer on the fact that this was a bad trade or a good trade.
Neutral sites in the World Series. We'll wrap it up with this and then also ask you, because you've written about this at thecardinalnation.com. So far, so good. It's worked. We're seeing a Dodger-eccentric World Series. They travel well. So we saw that last night with game number one. But neutral sites, I wonder if this is something that baseball will take a hard look at in the Fall Classic.
You know, when we talked about this very briefly last week, and it got me thinking about it. So, you know, I was watching the games in the championship series, you know, thinking about this. And there was a lot of talk both on both networks, TBS and Fox, saying, oh my gosh, you know, this grind, having to play every day in the postseason, and it forces the managers to have to use more of their rosters, and gee, they can't use the same two starting pitchers over and over again. Like, that's a big problem. And I get that some people would like to see, you know, Max Scherzer and Steven Strasburg, for example, for Washington, pitch every game. But that's not how the teams got there. They got there because they had 5-man rotation. And this whole thing about it's a grind to play 7 games in a row. Well, look at the regular season schedule. How often do teams play 7 games in a row? I mean, that's common nature. So I don't get that this schedule is a big inconvenience. But after I thought about it more, where I started to struggle was the fact that if you have a neutral site series, whatever round it is, granted, you can get those 7 games in a row, but the home team fans don't get a chance to see their teams. And I have a concern about that. I have an issue. I really like the fact that baseball, as well as the NBA and NHL, not the NFL, obviously the Super Bowl, that they let their team fans, you know, cheer on their teams in the postseason. And so, you know, I'm not as sure about this, 7 games straight for the World Series in the future. And to that end, if you look at the schedule for this year's World Series, they actually built in the 2 travel days, the 2 off days. They won't be travel because the whole World Series is going to be in Arlington. But they've actually built in the 2 off days into the World Series schedule this year as if they were, you know, having the first 2 games in one site, the 3 in the other, and then the final 2 back in the first location.
Brian, great stuff. Thank you as always. We'll catch up next Wednesday.
Take care, Dan.
That's Brian Walden of thecardinalnation.com.